This show is brought to you by earpeeler.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal is dedicated to the memories of Destructor guitarist Pat Rabid and Ash Chapel vocalist Eric Holcomb.
What's up? I'm Carlos Cruz, drums.
Michael O, lead guitar.
Chris Monroy, vocals and guitar.
Adrian Marquez, bass, Where Skeleton Remains, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a bare bones episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode... What episode are we on?
Yeah. 501.
501.
501 Blues.
Episode 501. And I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Corrine.
And this is Aaron. And dear listeners, I'd like to take a moment to talk to you about True Cult Coffee. True Cult Coffee is a small town coffee company offering only premium single origin coffees. They strive for world domination by summoning the demons of flavor through fresh roasted deliverance. Cafe Storm, their first roast, is a medium roast coffee summoned from El Salvador that is smooth and elegant yet strong enough to blow up your planet. New York Helvete, and New York Helvete is Norwegian for dark hell, is a dark roast from Nicaragua that is full-bodied, bold, and smoky with just a hint of chocolate. True Cult Coffee, hotter than a church in Norway.
Uh-huh.
So, check them out. I love that line. Like, if listeners, you got to check out the t-shirt at trve.kvltcoffee.com. You can get the True Cult Coffee shirts. They've got some pretty cool stuff. That hotter than a church in Norway really just cracks me up every time.
Yes, I love it.
I'm going to start trying to work in like a tagline, like they sell coffee and souls or something like that, or you don't have to sell your soul for the coffee. I don't know. There's a joke in there somewhere, right?
Somewhere.
But yeah, so check them out, truecultcoffee.com, trvekvltcoffee.com. The trve.kvlt, that's Instagram. So sorry about that one. trve.kvlt.coffee, that's on Instagram. That's where I spend most of my time interacting with Coffee Bean Occulta. Did you guys see the cool post he did today? It was like, tag us with your favorite metal shirt. You guys see that one?
They've done that before.
Maybe it's one of those ones that just came back up into the feed. Because I saw it today. I'm like, oh, what are my favorite metal shirts? So one of the things that I tagged was my Iron Maiden Can I Play With Madness shirt, because I love that one. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I thought that my shirt said Crash Course and Brain Surgery on it, my Metallica shirt. But it's the one with the skull with the sword through it. It was also on the bottom of the Zorlax skateboard decks.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, the pus head. But when I did a search for Crash Course and Brain Surgery, it didn't look anything like the shirt I remember having. And that shirt is so long gone. I mean, it was rags when it finally, you know, made its peace with the world and left. You know.
It's one of those. It fell apart.
I wore it to death and beyond.
Yeah, the design that you describe, isn't that the Damage Inc. by Pus Head?
So Damage Inc. was the one with the two clubs.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
The two spike clubs. Like I'll post a picture of my Zorlax skateboard, because that's what my T-shirt looked like.
Cool.
But yeah.
Cool. So, man. Yeah.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Well, I certainly can't complain. Although, like, normally this is rock shtick where he comes on and goes, I'm tired. I'm not feeling well. I'm this, I'm that. I have to admit, it's kind of been a long week for me, too, as well. But it's been, like, a lot of good stuff and all that. And yeah, I'm kind of getting there myself. But I know once we sit down and start yapping, that second wind is going to kick in and all that. And it's, yeah, I can't complain. Having a good time. I hope you guys are as well, are having a fantastic time as well. What can we say? Last week was the big 500.
Yes.
And yeah.
Big celebration.
Yeah, I went back and I listened to that episode and I got to give it to you guys as well. I'm very proud of us for everything we accomplished and that episode last week. Like I said, I went back and gave it a spin and it put a smile on my face. It put a smile on my face. And I want to thank everyone, you know, through Facebook that gave us a shout out and their congratulations and all their well wishes and all that. It really means a lot. You know, so one of the most complimentary things that we had gotten was from the moderator, Zach, from the Metal Podcast Collective Facebook page. And I kind of signed us up for this just to, you know, place to kind of hang out with, you know, other podcasts. I'm going through the list of people involved with this as well. And there's a lot of friends there and a lot of unfamiliar faces that I'm going to get familiar with. And when I made our presence known, he was quite complimentary to us.
Oh, cool.
I have to admit, I was blushing. I'm not gonna, you know, not gonna go into the whys and wherefores of it here. Everyone check out the Metal Podcast Collective on Facebook and you'll find out what I'm talking about. And there's just a metric shit ton of great shows and all that that's going to keep us entertained more than ever.
Nice.
So yeah. Anything else? How's everyone else doing? Everyone's in one piece, all done there, partying for the 500.
There was a party.
Yeah, we all knew, we just never invited you.
I suppose.
Well, the fact that Rock doesn't remember means the roofie worked.
There you go.
There you go.
Who invited Bill Cosby to this party?
Oh. No, it's not too soon.
Oh, don't be a bunch of sour, fucking itchy assholes.
It's well deserved.
And on that note.
And what cool shit did we do this week? Find out in our Metal Fix.
Okay, who's going to share what and what they did this week in the metal world?
I guess I'll start this week.
Yeah, Rock, that was such a great metal fix. Oh, man.
Damn.
Like, jumped the gun on that one, baby. Rock, wow, you partied hard this week.
Hello, speak.
Hi.
Continue, Rock. Continue. Dearest Rock.
It was so great. It was so great that it took his breath away.
Yeah, well.
Take my breath away.
So, that being said, I don't have nothing for you assholes.
Oh, well, she called it then.
No, I do have stuff.
Okay, good.
Aaron, I've been talking about this this podcast here for a few weeks now, the Rock and Roll Twilight Zone.
Yes.
This week, the episode was about Charles Manson and the Beach Boys.
Oh.
And
Charles Manson and the Beach Boys?
Charles Manson, yeah. He, one of the drummer of the Beach Boys, was heavily involved with Charles Manson at one point.
Yeah, dude. Rock, I'm so glad you brought that up. Because did they tell you about curing the STDs? Did they talk about that?
I don't know. I don't remember them talking about STDs. They were talking about the relationship and how the I can't remember his name, but the drummer from the Beach Boys fell off his boat many years later after he disassociated with and stuff with them, because a lot of people thought that it was maybe a suicide, because he was the one who introduced Charles Manson to the elite of Hollywood and stuff, and that's how he was able to infiltrate. And there's all sorts of rumors as to why Sharon Tate was murdered instead of maybe this other guy, because she was living in the house of this other guy that Charles Manson had a beef with. So, you know, they're thinking maybe she was just an innocent bystander. It's a very cool episode. You know, if you like those kind of conspiracy theories thing, definitely check it out, man. I'm liking it more and more every week. It's just really cool stuff. There's a lot of rumor and innuendo, you know, in it, but you know, there's also interviews with people who were actually there, you know, so it's pretty cool. So
right on.
The other thing is, I was listening to the Josta show today. He released an episode with Kirk Weinstein of Crowbar. And it was actually recorded live in front of a crowd maybe last week. I'm not sure when, but I love Kirk Weinstein. You know, he's so funny. And you know, they talked about all sorts of stuff, you know, and of course Dimebag came up because, you know, they were such all good friends, and they talked about touring stories, but not necessarily about drinking. It was more like pranks that Dimebag would play on the guys and stuff, and you know, his sense of humor. So definitely a good listen, the Josta show this week's episode. And the last one, I've been meaning to talk about this for a few weeks now, but I kept forgetting. I had to make a note. Now, it's a metal fix, but not really for me, because I haven't started listening to it yet. But there's the Osbournes podcast that just started.
Basically,
it's only going to be 10 episodes. They released the fifth episode this week. I'm waiting for everything to be released, and then I'm going to start listening to it pretty much all in a row. But basically,
binge watch it like Netflix.
Yeah, except, you know, while I'm at work, you know, I would work 8 hours a day, and the episodes are about an hour each. So, you know, I'm going to blow through this in a day and a half. You know, so. But basically, they said they're talking about the days when they were doing the Osbournes TV show. So they're reminiscing about all that stuff. So I'm really looking forward to listening to it. They have like guests also on there, people who were involved, I guess, in the show. So yeah, so check it out. It's just called the Osbournes podcast. So they've had 5 episodes so far. So, but like I said, I haven't listened to any of them, but I'm really looking forward to listening to it.
Okay, that sounds, I don't know, that could be hit or miss. Like,
yeah, well, we'll see. Like I said, I haven't listened to anything, so I can't judge right now, but, you know.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of behind the scenes and stuff.
Wait a minute, somebody brought that up. Somebody brought up the Osbournes podcast a couple episodes back. Yeah, I know so. Because somebody had talked about one of the episodes where Ozzy went fishing with Jack.
Rock was a while ago. Rock was talking about a video show of
Ozzy
was, they're involved in some reality
Ozzy and Jack's World Detour.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Now this is something that was something totally different, where they're traveling together and they get into mishaps and stuff. It's something totally different. Oh, you kind of remembered something, kind of, sort of.
Is Henry and Heidi still on? Speaking of quote unquote celebrity podcast,
it's been a long time since he released one.
He's had an insanely busy tour schedule, though. Like, once he started back in January, he hasn't stopped. I believe he's over in Europe right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was like mid-year last year that he released one.
Yeah, but I think he also was working. They said when he's not actively doing something.
Yeah, that's
like when he's spending more time at the office. So I'm still hopeful for it. Like, Heidi keeps posting stuff on the Instagram for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's going to keep it alive whether he likes it or not.
Yeah, she's definitely, even if she was to do something without him, because like we all love Big Hank, Henry Rollins, but for me, like, she's the star of that show.
Oh, she's funny as hell.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
Yeah. What about you, Abigail? What you got?
Well, What don't I have? I have a lot of shit that has happened within the past week. One of the things that I wanted to mention to you guys is that on our 500th episode, I didn't get a chance to bring up my metal fix. So I kind of
because we didn't do one.
Well, no shit.
I was just going to let that slide.
No shit. I didn't get a chance to do my metal fix, so I'm bringing that to the table tonight.
Go ahead. Sir.
That was the plan, yes. Yeah.
So two weeks ago, I went and saw Incantation.
Oh, yes. If right? there was ever one show Oliver. That I wanted to go with you to one, it would have been that one.
Dude, Jude Lord played.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even better, yeah.
It was a good fucking show. It was really fucking good. So Mr. Corrine and I met up with our buddy Sam, who several months ago, we're talking like 2017, went to a show, and I had him pick me up a merch, some merch from Immolation.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't receive this merch until that show. So I have a new album. I have the new Immolation. I think it's the new Immolation album.
What's it is called?
By Nuclear Blast.
Mm-hmm. What's it called?
I also. It is called the Atonement. Atonement.
Yeah, that's the Atonement. Yes, it's the new one.
I also bought the new Drew Lord album, which is fucking killer.
There nice. We go. That's my girl. Rock and roll.
And I stopped by my favorite record store to buy the tickets for Incantation. And I didn't know what I was picking up, okay? I will be honest. It was in the metal section. I had no idea what the fuck it said because it's in some crazy fucking lettering. Can't even read.
And that's no the joke, one to pick up, yeah.
No joke. I still couldn't fucking understand where this album came from. I had to find out about this album by looking at the fucking disc. And, you know, in the middle of the disc, it'll tell you some information about the fucking band. Like the mm-hmm. band name in the middle of the fucking disc near the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how far I had to go. but I picked up the new. Yeah, dude, it's fucking crazy. So I picked up the new Watain album. Watain album.
Oh, Watain. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I had no idea what the fuck. I got it and I put it in the car. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Good or bad?
It was so dark. Like, it was so. It's okay. It's definitely pure black metal. Like, you can't mm-hmm. deny it.
Yeah.
Like,
oh.
you can't fucking mm-hmm. understand it, let alone deny it. It was...
Watain don't know how to make a bad album.
No, like, you look at these covers, and you're like, oh, wow, okay. Yeah, hey, these guys look pretty cool, and you got some fun gothic art here, and you listen to it, and you're like, what the fuck kind of time zone did I just step in?
Mm-hmm. We had Watain on the show, right, Stoney? I think we did.
I don't think so. I never spoke to anyone.
I think it was one of those Iron City Rocks interviews.
Oh, I believe. Buddy John.
Yeah, that he did somewhere. For us. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, sorry.
So Chris. Oh no, you're fine. And so I got those three new albums to listen to. I've been downloading a ton of promos. From one of our promoters, actually, you guys don't even have this promoter at all. I actually went out of my way and got my hands on a metal promoter overseas, and they have been sending me a lot of really great doom metal and a lot of great, like, heavy fucking metal from other countries. But I have so many of their fucking promos that I haven't been able to listen to them all. Like, just in my inbox right now, I have over 68 promos.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's how many we get every week.
Yeah.
A lot of it is shit. A lot of it is shit. I can tell you right now.
Dude, I'll have like maybe 30 promos by the end of the second week. It's so crazy. Like they're called Against PR, and I think you guys should just check them out.
Oh, I think we have them. Yeah, I think we have them.
Really? I don't remember anybody over there telling me about against PR. I just went out of my way to go, you know.
Well, we deal with a lot of PR, but that's behind the scenes stuff that we should not share with the common man.
Kayfabe.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's not behind the scenes if you can go online and Google search it.
Yeah, but they don't send this stuff to the people who are not in the media. So.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. They talk to me.
That's okay. You're pretty.
Yeah, but you got
that was so Forrest Gump right there. That's all I have to say about that. Oh my goodness,
dude. You know what? Okay, quick story. So it's okay. You're pretty. Comment coming from when I was learning how to drive in the state of Maryland. No joke. I went to a driving school called Mr. B's Driving School. Okay. And this motherfucker was so fucking weird. He would literally tell me, he's like, it's okay, you're pretty. And then a dude was a fucking creep. And he would touch your arm. And he would just be like a real fucking weirdo. Mm. And then when
Christ,
he would
fuck
make
off, buddy. Jesus Christ. He,
yeah, dude. So on my last driver's test, the very last driving test, I had somebody who wasn't the part of the schooling. It was a fill-in, and I told her, and I flat out told her, I was like, "We got some weird ass like driving instructor, and like he puts his hands on you like literally like, and he'll like rub your arm, and then he'll like one time he pushed my head against the glass."
Oh, okay.
It wasn't forcible, but it was just like he pushed it so you like knew when to fucking look left or right. But it freaked me out, and I told this driving instructor, this woman, and she's like, "Oh no, honey, oh no, nobody's supposed to be putting your hands on you while you're learning how to drive, blah blah blah." And then every time I hear that comment from the Snow Patrol or like just anybody, it takes me back to that time that the driver teacher fucking said that to me.
See, Snowy, well, you're stirring up bad shit.
Yeah, no, but it's a term of endearment from me. It's one thing for me to say it, but like, you know, I don't know.
I find it
Letch doing this.
I find it a little condescending.
It's fucking okay. It's cool coming from you because I know where it's coming from, but it was fucking weird coming from that teacher. And it's just like, and then you look back on it, you're like, man, how did this guy not get his ass in trouble?
Oh, he probably has by now, if he's still doing
Jeez. It. Jeez, if my daughter came home and said this at the time, I would have been down there. Holy shit, Mrs. White would have been down there with a baseball bat before I had a chance to get there. Like,
dude,
holy jeez.
Like, the crazy shit I have been, like, just by you say that, it brings me back to some crazy shit that's happened this week that somebody had said to me about another coworker, and I'll tell you off air because it's really fucking like, wow, this guy is
okay.
Bald.
Jeez.
Crazy stuff. But back at the banana ranch. So besides the I still have my looks going for me, and I listen to fucking black metal and doom metal.
That's the spirit.
Yeah,
that's what I want to hear.
I gotta give my horns up to Kadia Kunha, my PR at Against, for sending me stuff and giving me a fucking earful of eargasms.
There we go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right on. Okay, Aaron, do you think you can? No, you can't, but try. No one can top this.
Hold on.
I know we're here. It's pretty.
More.
Wait, sorry. I forgot to add one more thing.
Okay.
I also got my hands on, thank you, iTunes. I also got my hands on some Gojira albums because it was missing out of my personal collection. Thank you to Gojira for bringing eargasms to my ears. Thank you.
There we go.
I have to go into it because, you know, whales and whatnot. I have Magma and From Mars to Sirius.
You say whales, somebody's going to be Mars to Sirius.
Yeah.
Both killer discs. I love them both.
Oh, and I have some new Marilyn Manson stuff, and I fucking love the song Kill For Me. By the way, just
don't okay, I
I haven't heard the new record very much. I'm gonna have to give it a spin. Just a couple tunes.
It's a ball tapping good time. You need to fucking listen to it. I don't know what you're doing with your life if you're not listening to Kill for Me, but you need to listen to it.
I'm gonna have to.
I'm done talking.
Hey, you got your work cut out for you here, man.
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is going to be a ball tapping good time, but it's a good time nonetheless. And I mean, I'm certainly not as pretty, so it's not going to be near as much fun. But so I've got a shitload of stuff to talk about, and it's all over the board. So let's see here. Should I start with Gene Simmons?
It's the Metallica Power Hour.
I have nothing to say about Metallica other than the stuff I already said today, which, I mean, I guess I did manage to mention Metallica on the show again.
There you go.
Since Will, Big Willie there, was saying it's been a while since he's heard about Metallica on our show. He's kind of goading us on Facebook. So
I know.
We were able to make it happen there. Okay, Will, thank you for calling that Will. So what's the proper name, proper way to say his last name? Mercier?
Well, it's Mercier. French. It's a French Canadian name, so I say Mercier. I have no idea how to say it in English. So,
okay. Yeah. And God, just in case anyone's wondering,
I think it's Mercer.
And Big Willie is, of course, he's our social media dude.
Yep.
Just in case anyone was wondering. Go on.
Our Facebook dude.
That's all right. So, Gene Simmons has built my hot rod the last few weeks here. So, you know, you guys know Gene's been doing The Vault, right?
Yeah.
So Gene was on the cover of Bass Guitar Magazine, the UK magazine. I actually bought a copy, ordered it from the UK.
Excuse us.
It's not my first UK magazine. but so I really didn't understand that The Vault was an actual safe until I saw this article.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've been kind of seeing stuff online, but I didn't really pay attention to it. And I'm like, holy crap. So, I mean, it's like a legit safe.
Yeah, isn't it like 30 pounds or something?
Oh, yeah, dude. Like it looks like something you would have found on the Titanic.
Yeah.
You know, like it's pretty cool. So I've got to hand it to Gene just from the aesthetics, because when you open it up, the attention to detail, like, it just looks cool. It looks cool as hell. It's a good article. Like, I always appreciate a Gene article. He's talking about playing bass, and they're asking about pick versus fingers. He's like, listen, I play with a pick because I want people to be able to hear it. You know, when he's talking about, like, live, and I'm like, I've kind of always felt the same way. I used to get into it with one of the guys in my band who was trying to give me crap for playing with my playing with a pick. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I want the sound. And he's like, well, why don't you just turn the treble up? I'm like, no, that's not the point. Like, he would play with his fingers, but he had, like, so much of the high end jacked up, it sounded like he's playing with a pick. I'm like, well, just play with a pick. He's like, but I'm playing with my fingers. I'm like, yeah, no, you're missing the point. Like, you play with your fingers, you get a certain sound. Like, that's what I want. You know, like, so, yeah, that was the whole thing.
Playing with your fingers, you have more dexterity also. You can do more than just playing with a pick, though.
No, I completely disagree on that one.
Okay. We shall have to test that theory next time we see each other.
Oh, all right. Well, that means I got to work up my pick chops again, because I've been playing with my fingers much more.
I need to work on my chops, period.
Yeah, this could be fun. The two of us are going to be like when the old guys and the old folks home race in wheelchairs or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't touched a bass.
It's starting to turn into that, yeah.
I haven't touched a bass probably since college, so that was like 98.
Jeez, Grandpa.
Yeah.
I haven't touched a bass and swelled this morning. Mm. So, you know.
You haven't swallowed your bass since this morning?
Not really.
Yeah. That's kind of what it sounded like you said.
That's why I had the ribs moved. Anyway.
Deep throat in that bass, Aaron.
Keep on. Yeah, hey, you know, you're listening to Manson. You know, he knows all about it.
Oh, yeah, I bet he does.
The ribs, you know, the ribs thing. Anyway, so continuing the Gene thing, a while back in the Metal Fix, I talked about the Gene Simmons on Power book. I finished that on one of my last flights. I really dug it. There's some stuff in there that was hard to take. I'm like, ugh, I'm just not sure about this. You know, some of the things he says. But I mean, it's Gene. But there's a lot of other things he said in it that I really enjoyed. And that led me to get the next book, which is he put out a few years ago, Me, Inc., Build an Army of One, Unleash Your Inner Rock God, Win in Life and Business by Gene Simmons. And like kind of continuing with what we said about the vault, you know, how like the vault just looks really cool. This book just looks cool. It's actually got its own little bookmark in it. It's almost printed like a Bible. Like now that I'm looking at just like the font and the way that the pages are rounded, it's almost biblical.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Like
I'm sure there's thought put into that.
Oh, I'm sure too. Cause I mean, even like the Gene Simmons on Power, it's like a little black book. It looks like a little black address book or a date book or something you would have taken to like a meeting, like business meetings back in the '70s kind of thing.
Yep.
And then, I've also picked up, Scott Ian, his book, All Access, All Areas.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to start reading that at some point, but I've got it's in the queue, but I've been meaning to order it before I forgot. So that's in my queue of books to read.
Cool.
But so Scott Ian kind of ties into this next thing indirectly because of Anthrax. So I don't remember how long ago it's been now, but Rock introduced me to the Dean Del Rey podcast on this show. I've been an avid listener, and Dean's all over the map. Like, you know, he brings on like a lot of great rock and roll guests, but he's got comedy guests and he's on his handmade kick and all that sort of stuff. So he brings on a guy to talk about Rolex watches. Well, I know nothing about Rolex watches, had no idea anything about these watches till they start talking numbers. I'm like, $40,000 for a watch?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What the heck?
Yep.
You know? What is wrong with people?
And they're showing like the low end models are like, you know, $8,000, $9,000. Tudor, I found a Tudor watch. Tudor's like the low end brand of Rolex. It's $3,500, and that's like the low end that I found. But at the same time, like I went back and started reading all the history on this stuff. I'm like, holy shit, like what they've done mechanically is really impressive, you know? And I mean, they've really earned their prestige, but still, I couldn't imagine wearing $9,000 on my wrist. But you know, they're still pretty cool. So this has kind of rekindled my love for watches. Cause I've had quite a few different watches over the years. And then I started thinking, hey, didn't Dan Spitz get into watchmaking?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what he does. He's in Switzerland making
watches. He's in Florida now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's in the U.S.
Yeah. No, he did live in Switzerland, yes.
Yeah, because he went to school over there, right, mm-hmm. for the big, you know, watch school thing. I can't remember what it's called. But he's one of the few Americans that's actually taught in America and Switzerland watchmaking. Like he's achieved that level. Like, so it's not just like, yeah, he went and picked this up as a trade. Like he's that good.
Yeah.
And he's also designed his own specialized watch benches now. Cause that's like a big deal. Okay. I had no idea how deep this rabbit hole went, but I'm enjoying, you know, getting back into the watches. Like I have Bulova. My wife bought me a couple of different Bulova models and I was looking up. Bulova is one of the watches that went to the moon along with the Omega brand. And there's now a limited edition commemorative model, I guess, of a recreation of the lunar watch for like $650. So, I mean, $650 compared to like $8,000.
I'm happy with a $20 watch.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, even $650 is too much.
But it's funny. So, like, you know, you think about a $3,500 watch. That's an iMac. Like, that's a loaded iMac.
Yeah, yeah,
it is. You know?
Yep.
And like a $9,000 watch, that's a car.
Mm-hmm.
That blows my mind. You know, it absolutely blows my mind. I mean, I don't even know if I'd pay that much for a base. You know, like I have a base here that's rather expensive. But I mean, like, I just, I don't know, man. You know, you start getting too far over the $1,000 mark for me in anything. I'm just like,
Yeah.
You know, but it's still cool as hell though. Like this lunar watch, it's definitely on the wish list. You know, I might be selling some stuff this year. Pick one of those up. I might.
Okay.
Here's why though. So it's made after the model that went up with Apollo 15 in 1971. 71 being the year I was born. And so that's why this particular one has really kind of captured my eye.
Gotcha.
You know, so that, I believe, as I'm looking around here for anything else, I believe that is my entire metal fix. And I know that was a lot of stuff.
Fuck yeah, Aaron.
The last watch that I had was this Princess Leia watch that I got at Burger King that lasted for maybe a month before it broke. And that was about 10 years ago. And that was the end of it. I don't even wear a wedding ring, never mind a fucking $10,000 watch.
So let me ask you this.
Oh, jeez.
Was Pac-Man a thing up in Canada?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Hey. Who knows? You know, I didn't know.
And then you wonder why I say the things I do.
For all I know, it could have been Syrup Man or something like that. Waffle Man, Pancake Man, Back Bacon Man. Who knows?
Okay. What about Pac-Man?
So do you remember the Pac-Man watch of the 80s?
No.
Okay. So then that's why I asked if Pac-Man was a thing, because obviously it wasn't that big of a thing. But the Pac-Man watch would have made it that far north.
I'm sure it was a thing. It's just not in my world. Not at that time.
It was a big thing, like when I was a kid in grade school, like because like the digital watches were, you know, like the LCD watches were becoming a big deal. Just to have an LCD digital watch was a thing when I was a kid. They were, you know, at varying prices, but like Pac-Man, you could actually play the Pac-Man game on the watch.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah, we had those.
Oh, okay.
So they had them in civilized Canada, French Canada.
Yes, there you go. Because one of my friends, I think, had one. Because I remember seeing one and actually playing with it. But I did not own one, but I do remember playing with one.
I had one. I have no idea where it went to. I used to have the box for it up until a while ago. Yeah, that was a cool watch. It was a fun watch.
Now, would any of you buy a Metallica watch?
Yeah, I would.
No, because it's probably about 500 times more expensive than any other watch.
No, okay. Let me just say something. All right.
Say something.
So I have two things on this. So how many of you in this podcast go to Starbucks?
Not me.
Sorry.
I do.
Okay. I do. So Aaron and I are the only two that go to the Starbucks.
50%.
So Starbucks, a couple months ago, they may still have them on their display, had Metallica gift cards.
Yes, you've talked about this.
Right, right. So what you do is you load it for $25 and the money goes to charity and stuff. So, you know, that's the cheapest thing of Metallica that you're probably going to find for, you know, in a – anyway. But what's really fucking cool, and I don't know why this ties into it, is that the other day I was in I was in Starbucks – and I saw this gift card, an all-black fucking Starbucks gift card. I don't know if that has anything to fucking do with Metallica, rock, or metal, but it was the most
watches. Starbucks.
Or anything, yeah.
Yeah, but it was the most metal Starbucks thing I've ever seen, and, you know, take it for what it is.
It was the the Black Album card from Starbucks.
It had to be. I'm going to take a fucking picture of this thing and show you guys because
it's a black card. Who cares?
You know what? Starbucks doesn't have true cult coffee, so fuck them.
Yeah,
fuck them. They have to label their cups with cancer, cancer warnings now.
Oh my god.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyways, back at the Banana Ranch. Sorry.
Well, hang on. So back at the Banana Ranch, Metallica watch. Belova apparently made a Metallica watch. And
no.
I don't know what this one cost. I would absolutely get this watch because not only is it a badass looking Belova watch, which, again, I like.
It has Lars's face on it with his hands going around the
Holy so shit.
If it had Lars on it, you know I wouldn't buy it. I think I've been very vocal about the fact that I'm really not a Lars fan here. But
oh, not at all.
It's got a pus head type skull on it.
Okay.
Oh, it's badass.
Hold on,
and share it to the group.
Wouldn't it be funnier if it was like a cartoon James with his arms are the one that's telling you what the time is?
Okay, that really would be funny as hell.
Hold on, I'm trying to fucking find this thing.
All right, Bolova Metallica.
So Snowy, Snowy, while they're looking for this, what's your metal fix?
Because
researching on the internet while we're doing a podcast, that's not very good podcasting.
I don't know if I can top all this.
$2,000 on eBay. $2,000 on eBay. That's I would not buy that.
Wait a minute here. The T-ShirtSlayer.com guy says. It's on there, and he has one, and he's saying it's not for sale, you little piss fucker. But dude's got one. T-ShirtSlayer.com.
All right.
Sorry.
$2,000 on eBay.
God. Oh my God, Snowy, what you got?
For my metal fix, like I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk that.
Are you going to talk about calculators?
No, no, I'm going to talk about metal here. Thank you. The last couple weeks, I did pretty good on the live front myself. First, Calgary Grinders Wake came through town. They're out crossing Canada supporting their latest record, Misery Rites. And I wanted to speak to them. I wanted to sit down and, you know, do an in-person with them. But they were in town here the same night we were celebrating my little girl's birthday and all that. So it's like, okay, we did the birthday thing here and all that. We had dinner and cake and presents and all that. And then we jumped in a cab. My daughter went home, and I went straight out to the club, you know, to catch most of the show because, you know, it's a Saturday night, a grindcore show. They're going to start a little later and all that. Good time was had by all. I just wasn't able to speak to them, and it's kind of a bummer because the new record is just killer. You know, it's definitely a contender this year. And, of course, our buddies in Flashout and Zombie Assault were also on the bill as well. That always makes for a good time. And it was also an extra special night because, remember, a couple episodes back, we announced that we lost a Capitalist Casualty vocalist, Sean Elliott, in between bands all night. The only music that they played was Capitalist Casualties, just kind of in tribute and all that. So, yeah, that was... that was really cool. Just the other night, as we speak, Royal Thunder came through town as well. We've had the band on the show before, and we've played their music. And I'm going to get to one of their earlier tracks as well here. And if anyone isn't familiar with Royal Thunder, I don't know. Is there such a thing as a more melodic doom, perhaps?
Yeah. Are they power range?
I don't know. Like they're doomy, but it's kind of, you know.
Did you not get that reference, Snowy?
No, you kind of cut out for a split second there. I hate it when that happens.
Dude, metal thunder, power range.
Okay, power range. Sorry.
I don't get that.
No, me either.
You know what? Hold on. Wait a minute here. I might have goofed.
I think you might have. Anyways, yes, Royal Thunder came through town. And like I'd seen, like we had them on the show. I wanted to get vocalist Melanie Parsons on the show. Unfortunately, she was unavailable. So we talked to some of the other guys and we had a fantastic chat. I didn't make arrangements to speak to them this time round, and I'm kind of kicking myself. What, you know, sometimes I'll have that interviewer's remorse where I decide, oh, okay, we got a bunch of interviews in the can, maybe we'll kind of just let this one kind of go and I'll just go out and enjoy the evening. And then I end up kicking myself because Ms. Parsons, oh my God, is the Joan Jett of heavier music. Far and away, this young lady is an absolute star in the making. And the last time I saw Royal Thunder, they came through town supporting Enslaved.
And, you know, when you're on a four band bill, you don't always get, you know, an appropriate amount of time. Give a band like this, oh my God, you give them a headlining set and they're going to blow you away every time. And I just, it was absolutely amazing. On my way to the venue, I was on transit, Tom, and I missed my stop, Corrine. You know why?
Why is that, Snowy?
Because I'm getting one of these weird Corrine texts just out of nowhere. While I'm trying to deal with weird Corrine, there was my stop. There it goes. Ding. All right. One of these times, and of course, you know, my
one buddy of these days, Alice. One of these days.
To the moon, Alice.
To the moon. Yeah. Well, the next time, you know, I'm going out on a show like this, and me and my buddies, we hit the back alley Lemmy's and all that. Corrine, I'm going to call you and get you on speakerphone, and you got to have a couple belts with us.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing more than me loving getting the belt.
Well, it all depends on what you're into that night.
Yeah, you know, just a couple of them, you know.
I can be accommodating.
Where's this going?
I want to drop a Royal Thunder song here. Their latest record is pretty cool, but I want to get into the tune that kind of put Royal Thunder on the map. But before we get to that, just as I was leaving work today, and all I have is a terrestrial radio, okay? And I'm closing down shop. I'm getting ready. Twisted Fucking Sister comes on. Okay. Now, I should be leaving. I should be punching out. My ride's waiting for me. I just tried to press the off button to turn off Twisted Sister.
Like you haven't listened to Twisted Sister enough in your life?
I could not turn Twisted Sister off. I couldn't do it, man.
What track?
No, well, we're not going to take it. It's true.
Oh, my God. That you could have turned off. I'm sorry.
No.
You've heard it a million times.
Not only can he not turn it off, he should have trashed The Office while he listened to it.
Fucking rights, man.
Yeah. Rock, you just don't understand Twisted Sister.
I don't. I love Twisted Sister, but come on. You've heard it a million times.
No. The point is, there's no way that I could turn it off. I couldn't do it. It just did not compute. What does compute is how great Royal Thunder are. From their CVI record, the one that started it all, this is Whispering World.
Oh,
been getting quite a bit of mileage out of the Manitoba Metal Fest here for these past couple episodes. For episode 499, we had the Mighty Demolition Hammer on, who was headlining. The second night of that said festival, doing the direct support, shall we say, second last band on, was Skeletal Remains. Now, this is a brutal death metal, old school, which this day and age kind of translates into modern metal. That just seems to be the way that the death metal and the underground is going right now. They're just recently putting out record number 3, Devouring Mortality. As a matter of fact, as this is hitting the air Friday morning, April 13th. Okay, if all things are working out, the new Skeletal Remains, Devouring Mortality is hitting the new release rack right now. So run, don't walk to your favorite record store and pick up this record, because after seeing them live, I can honestly say they kick big ass. And in amongst the whole Manitoba Metal Fest and the backstage and the green room area, that, you know, all the things are coming and going, people in and out, a good time is being had by all. I'm trying to sit down and do what the snowy thing and talk to Skeletal Remains. And once again, like Rock, as you know, we've done so many interviews under these trying circumstances, we still managed to pull it off somehow. And I had a really kick-ass chat with Adrius Marquez, bassist, Adrian Obregon on guitar, and Chris Monroy on axe and vocals. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic band, even better guys to get us there. As I said, Devouring Mortality, courtesy of Dark Descent Records in North America and Century Media in the rest of the world. That record drops today, and we're going to get to the title track. This is Skeletal Remains with Devouring Mortality.
Yeah. I guess to start off with, the elephant in the living room is going to be the new record, Devouring Mortality. I believe it's going to be out in about another month.
Mm-hmm. April 13th.
Is it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys must be pretty excited about this so far.
Yeah, very sure. Can't wait. We're kind of blown away at the production, how everything came together. It sounds fucking amazing, so we can't wait for everyone to hear that shit.
Right on. No doubt. And one of the things that kind of... Okay, maybe our listeners, some of them might be hearing about you guys for the first time, so maybe give a brief bio, who you are, what you guys do, whatever. What's your sound? What's your vibe? What's your...
Alright, so Skeletal Remains is pretty much a death metal band worshipping the old school death metal era from the late 80s, early 90s. Bands like Pestilence, Gore Against Death, Demolition Hammer. What else? Do you want to know how the band started?
Yeah, just whatever information, kind of as a brief intro to who you guys are.
Okay. So the band was started in 2011 under a different name, Anthropophagy, with me and Mike. And we got contacted to do our demo by FDA Records from Germany. They released our demo, and also they released our first and second record, Beyond the Flesh and Condemned to Misery. And now we're signed to Century Media Records and Dark Descent Records for North America, and we'll be releasing Devour Mortality April 13th. And the lineup consists of Mike, Adrian, and me, Chris, and Carlos is doing drums right now for the live shows.
Right on. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about with Dark Descent. This is your debut with them and all that, but it's also, you're dealing with Century Media as well. How did that come about?
So we, when we did our first European tour back in 2012, we played a festival, Partisan Festival, and most of European Century Media was there. And they like the band. We've been in contact with them since then. They've always brought up the idea about possibly working together, but we were under a two record contract with the other label, FDA Records. So once that finished, they contacted us again about possibly working together, and that's how it happened. We kind of just been in contact with them since that festival.
Right on. And the production and everything else that goes on to make a complete package, you guys put some pretty impressive names. Like, you worked with Dan Swano on this, for starters. And on the art, you tapped Dan Seagrave as well. These are some big name guys and all that. Like, how does that work with any sort of band, I guess? Do you approach these guys? Do these guys approach you?
Well, as far as what we did, we approached them. Dan Seagrave was somebody that we've been wanting to work with since the first record. Being on a more independent label, we didn't have the budget to be able to do that. So now with Century Media, we had the opportunity to do it. So we contacted Seagrave, and he was interested. And the same with Swano. He was just one of the names that we had in mind for the mixing and mastering of the new record. So we hit him up, and he was the first one to say yes. So we're just like, fucking this dude. He's a legend, and he's good at what he does. And we're big fans.
He did a good job on that record.
Bloodbath and all that stuff. So we kind of just approached them, and they were all up for it. And I think it's a great combo, for the record. It made the record so much better having them on there.
Right. Yeah, can't wait. So this is record number 3 for you guys, full length.
Number 3?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have thought about this before, but for a metal band, record number 3 is kind of important. It's almost like a make or break thing here. Like, what put Metallica on the map? It was Master of Puppets. What put Slayer on the map? It was Rain in Blood. So this is a pretty big deal for a metal band. Do you guys have any thought of that going into it, or am I just freaking you out now?
It's a pretty clear picture. Yeah, we're all pretty much aware of things like that, but
it's definitely like a thought that I've had anyways. I think about Master Puppets mainly, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's not something that affects like writing the music. It's just everything's just naturally, you know, the songs just came and it's not like we didn't sit there and be aware like, okay, this song's not good enough because it has to be so much better than this, you know, as long as the song sounds good to us, you know, I made the record.
Yeah, I really think that's something like after the fact where once it's released and once it's in circulation, people start listening to it, talking about it, and we start promoting it on the road. Right. Then you see the reaction like that. It's nothing initial going into it. It's even, you know, something like Puppets. You don't, I'm sure they didn't sit there going, oh, we just wrote this record. Yeah. They just did the best they can, a bunch of punk-ass kids.
The expectations on the album, I'm sure, are big with everybody involved, you know, but like for us, it sounds fucking amazing to us.
So. Yeah. We're fans of the record. We enjoy listening to the record.
We're happy with the music. And we're just, I mean, we're just mad everyone else is digging it, too. So, I mean, they're enjoying it as much as us now on the record. So, you know, whether it does good or not, you know, we still had fun doing it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. That's definitely what it's all about. One of your highlights so far would probably have to be your Flexi Disc appearance with Decibel Magazine, Planetary Genocide. For the uninitiated, how does that happen for a band and all that? Because that must have been a pretty big deal for you guys. Do they contact you? Does it go through the label?
Decibel contacted the label, yeah. And the label just let us know. And
nice. We couldn't pass on the opportunity. The shitty part about that was that we got to pick a song, and that one song is not going to be on the album, which kind of sucks. You know, we want that song on the album too. And we were deciding on choosing like the weakest one that we felt was the weakest song to go on there. But then Century Media recommended that it'd be best to pick a song that is more, you know,
like a stronger song
that'll like, you know, hook people into
make a bigger impact. And
so,
because originally it was supposed to be the first single to be released of any of our new music,
but that was only down part to that. That song's not going to be on. Hopefully, in one day, I'll fucking form release. We can put it as a bonus track or something, you know. But I mean, it was really good opportunity for us. So definitely.
What are some of the artists? Well, you kind of touched on this. But what are some of the artists that made you want to do this?
Those guys, Demolition Hammer.
Yeah.
Just walked out of the room.
Death
for sure.
Guys, yeah. I mean, all the classic stuff, you know. Obviously, the American death metal made more an impact. But we're fans of like all Swedish,
everything German, Sweden, yeah.
Finnish. But for the music we write, I think it's more of like the American side, like all the stuff that was coming from Florida.
Right.
But yeah, bands like that like definitely passed us, the big reason me and him started the band. You know, we just worshipped that band and Gorguts and Death and Demolition Hammer and
to name a few. And as far as like what like made us want to play music was, you know, like fucking the usual Metallica, Iron Maiden, Slayer, like, you know.
All the classic stuff.
And finally, with the new record coming out, what are we doing over the next year to promote it? Are you guys hitting the road?
Yeah, we're like going on tour in May for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, out in Europe.
And then just a few shows lined up here, and they were playing Cubic Death. I think it's one of the first one. Right?
I mean, can't really announce that yet. We have Europe. We have our album release show in Los Angeles the day the album comes out, April 13th, and we have plans to do another European tour at the end of the year, some Asia stuff, and we'll be coming back to Canada too. And then a few off shows here and there.
It's called Strike Fest in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Razor and Gary Exciter coming down for that, so we'll be part of that.
Yeah, Nasty Savage is on there. Turners. A lot of
Morbid Saint.
Morbid Saint on there.
Oh.
But that should be a good show. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we can't announce yet, but just keep an eye on our social media pages. You know, we'll announce all the stuff there.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
You guys suck. You guys suck.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
I know I haven't said the words devouring mortality quite enough in the last about 20 minutes or so. So, you know, but I cannot emphasize it enough, because that is a kick-ass record from a kick-ass band. And when you get a chance to see Skeletal Remains live, jump on it. For sure, for sure. How are we doing for time here, guys?
Oh, we gotta go. Yeah, considering we did it over 2 hours last week, let's try and keep it closer to an hour this time.
Well, hey, not every podcast gets to 500 episodes.
That's true.
You know, like when you some really podcasts think have about
1500 episodes.
So. Okay, but yeah, but those are podcasts that are almost daily, I would imagine.
Yes,
twice a week
used to be. Yes.
And I have a tendency of kissing a girl, so like, I can't do that many podcasts. So hey,
well, that's something new.
What, kissing the girl or the podcast?
Oh, you know, kind of both.
Oh, right.
But yeah, once again, thank you everyone for all the well wishes. 500 episodes. I am so proud of us, and here is to 500 more. At the top of the episode, we had the misfortune of announcing losing some of our comrades, and in honor of those, I want to go out on some old school Destructor, in honor of Mr. Pat Rabbit, as we have, without getting into too many details, we have some friends of a friends of Mr. Rabbit, so we want to say, you know, our condolences to everyone, and as well to the Holcomb family as well. That's too bad. So we're going to go out some old school Destructor from that awesome first record. I'm going to go out with some Pounding Evil. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a bare bones episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Corrine.
And this is Aaron. And don't forget to drink True Cult Coffee. Horns up!
Signing off.
At radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.